Well, shalom, y'all. We're so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. We're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 35 this week. This is going to be our last teaching in the book of 2 Chronicles. And we're going to just read one verse here to start with. And this is dealing with King Josiah in Judah. Now, we're at the point where Judah is getting very close to the point where they're going to be brought into captivity into the land of Babylon. Okay. So let's go ahead and read the verse here. It says, "And there had not been celebrated a Passover like it in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, nor had any of the kings of Israel celebrated such a Passover as Josiah celebrated with the priests, the Levites, all Judah, Israel, who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem." I picked this verse because it's a very telling statement that we have said here. There have been many kings that have reigned over Israel and Judah at this point. As I had said before, we are very close to the point of Judah being led in to captivity. Israel has already been dispersed. They were already taken captive, you could say, by Assyria. So this verse comes along, and Josiah, who had a heart after Yahweh and who restored the temple, and Josiah then decides to celebrate the Passover. And we see that he celebrates the Passover in such a way that the verse says that it had not been celebrated that way since the days of Samuel. So this means that this Passover exceeded anything that had been done underneath David and underneath Solomon. When we think about when David was king over Israel, a lot of his time as king was spent, you know, fighting enemies and expanding the kingdom. Not much peace underneath the reign of David. And also the fact that there was no temple underneath David, and he was the one who decided to actually bring back the Ark of the Covenant. So for part of his time as king, the Ark wasn't even present in Israel at that moment in time. The temple would be built underneath Solomon, but we know Solomon was distracted. Solomon loved his foreign women. And the scripture tells us that Solomon was led astray by these foreign women. They led his heart away from Yahweh. And so as we read through the stories and the history of each king that reigned over Israel and over Judah, we see time and time again of how these kings, their heart was not towards Yahweh, but their heart was towards serving these pagan gods, worshiping the Baals and the Asherah. That's where their hearts were. So they weren't celebrating the Passover, and they weren't celebrating the Passover, and so they also were not celebrating the other feast. Israel and Judah had gone away from walking in the ways of the Almighty. They had strayed from his commands and from his ways, and even from the feast that he had set up, and even the Passover. I mean, the Passover itself represented their freedom from Egypt. It was the celebration of them actually becoming their own people, of them coming out of slavery from Egypt and being able to come into their own land to worship Yahweh the way he wanted to be worshiped. But in that, they strayed from his commands. So I wanted to go ahead and take this week and talk a little bit about his feast that Israel and Judah had forgotten. And there are many today who believe in Yeshua, but have forgotten his feast. And they are not celebrating his feast. And so they miss out on the richness that are inside of the feast, all that they speak of and what they teach us. Now, I'm not going to go in depth and talk about each feast this week about that, but I just want to talk about the awakening ourselves and remembering of why his feasts are with us and what they're for and what they speak unto us. I want to read Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1 and 2. And Yahweh spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the appointed times of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these." So then the scripture goes on to speak of Passover. He gives them the instructions on how to celebrate Passover. Passover, as I was talking before, was a memorial or a celebration to remind Israel of how they were led out of bondage of slavery underneath Egypt to come into the land that was appointed unto them, that was promised unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was a memorial of what he had done for them, but it also was a rehearsal. And everything that they were doing, they're rehearsing and teaching themselves about what Yeshua would do when he came to the earth, when the actual Passover lamb would come. The Passover feast, the celebration, the meal, and what you do, and everything that was instructed unto them, points us towards Yeshua. It teaches us about what he did for us when he died upon that cross for us. So, one who has an understanding of the Passover, this was kind of the idea behind God's reasoning, is in his feast, he was preaching the Messiah to Israel so that when the Messiah came, they would not miss him. So the question we have is, why did the Jews miss him? Were the Jews in the same error that we read about in 2 Chronicles? Now, we know that they were celebrating Passover because we read it in Scripture as Yeshua was walking the earth. But were they celebrating the Passover with the right heart? Were they fully understanding what they were doing? Or had it just become a religious activity? Something that they did because they were a Jew. As a Jew, this is what I do. Instead of understanding the richness and the lesson that they're being taught, understanding the thing that they were rehearsing. Because one would believe if they understood what they were rehearsing and understood what they were being taught, then they would have recognized the Passover lamb standing in front of them. The second feast we have is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The unleavened bread speaks of the fact that Yeshua was without sin. Yes, he was without leaven. Points us and teaches us to strive and to live our lives without sin, to be without leaven. That a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, to strive and push to live a life without compromise, but to hold on to all of his word, all of his commands, and embrace and love all of it, and to strive and walk in all of it. Unleavened bread speaks of also the fact that they walked through the Red Sea. They went from the old into the new. Just like us, them going through the Red Sea speaks of us being immersed in water. being baptized in water. And what does baptism in water speak? We're dying to the old man and we are being raised and at newness of life. So the unleavened bread speaks of us dying to our old self. And then followed by the feast of unleavened bread, we have first fruits. This is the resurrection. This is when Yeshua rose from the grave. He defeated sin and death. And now he lives and sits at the right hand of the Father. So we who have been water immersed, died to the old self, have been raised in a newness of life to walk as a new creation in him. So that's what the feast, these are the spring feasts, and this is what it speaks and teaches unto us. And every year, we go through a cycle of this to remind us, to teach us, and as we learn each and every year, we gain more understanding. We gain a deeper knowledge and revelation of what Yeshua has done for us and is still doing and will do for us. We're being transformed from glory unto glory each time we come and sincerely celebrate his feast. And then we had the feast of Shavuot, which we just celebrated last week. This is the time that the Jews believed that the Torah was given unto Moses on the mountain. This speaks of the time that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples in the upper room. This speaks of the fact that the gospel is being sent unto the nations. His Spirit has been poured out upon his people. He has written his law upon the hearts and the minds of his people, and he has empowered them with his Spirit to go out and to make disciples in all of the world. Then we come to his fall feast, where we are actually still rehearsing what is to come in the future. The Feast of Trumpets. One day we will hear that trumpet blow in the sky, and we look forward to the second coming of our Messiah. Then we have the Day of Atonement. This speaks of the fact that one day every person will have to stand before the judgment seat and be judged for what they have done. Blessed are those who are covered by the blood of Yeshua, whose sins are atoned for. Then we have the Feast of Booths, or Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. And this speaks of the fact that we will dwell and reign with him in his kingdom. So I want to go to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. And one of the things that we see as we read through all the feasts, and one of the feasts that is listed in 23 is the weekly Sabbath, the weekly Shabbat, is the command of a day of rest is connected with his feast. So the idea of feasting with him, of celebrating with him, is linked to us resting. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. It's interesting here. This scripture is actually talking about Israel as they're leading through the wilderness and how they provoked him in their hearts and they wandered off from his commands. They chose not to follow the voice of God and what Moses was telling them to do. And because they were rebellious and they strayed away, he said, they shall not enter into my rest. And it's interesting, we started off this verse learning that many years later, Israel is celebrating a Passover that had not happened for many, many years. Because what did they do? They wandered off. They provoked Yahweh. So if we wander off and provoke Yahweh, will we enter into his rest? See, God is our perpetual rest. Rest, as I was saying, is associated with all of his feasts. He gives us the weekly day of rest because it is pointing us and teaching us to the fact that one day we will enter into that perpetual rest with him. And that is our goal. That's his goal for us, is to enter into that rest. And that's what he is trying to teach us, that in his ways, there is rest. And if we choose to walk in his ways, we will have rest. We will have rest here. Even in the midst of turmoil, we can experience rest. And in the future, we will have rest. Let's look at his words from the very beginning of creation in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their host. And on the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work, which God had created and making it. So the very beginning of the book, God establishes two things with us. Number one, he establishes the fact that he is the creator. He is God creator. Number two, he establishes the concept of rest, of understanding rest, that he is a God of rest. He worked. He created. And the earth and the universe came to be. But when he saw it was good, he stopped. Then he rested. And so from that point on, he established rest. He created rest. Rest, the idea of stopping from work, the idea of stopping from what we're doing for that day, on Shabbat, on Sabbath, is created by him for our good, so that we can enjoy the blessings of rest. And his rest goes beyond just us stopping and observing the Sabbath. His rest is promised to those who will walk in his ways. When we are faithful to walk in his covenant, to keep his commands, to keep his instructions, we experience rest. We can enjoy rest. But we also have the promise that one day we can enter into his rest. So if we want to enter into his rest, we need to learn from those who failed to enter into his rest. We do not want to make the same mistakes that they did. And why did they not enter into his rest? Number one, it says they hardened their hearts. Their hearts were resistant to what his voice was saying. They were resistant to his commands, to his instructions. They wanted to do their own thing. They were stiff-necked, rebellious, and had a hard heart. So if we want to enter into rest, we have to remove the old hardened heart. We have to allow that hardened heart to be gone and removed and cut away and circumcised. And by His Spirit, He can come and He can give us a new heart. One that is tender to the voice of His Holy Spirit, that can hear the conviction of His Holy Spirit, and have a desire to walk in His ways, to be obedient unto His ways, not because we're trying to earn a salvation, but because we love Him. And we desire to be like Him, to be one with Him, to please Him. We obey because we love Him. So as we get rid of that old hard heart, and we choose, instead of going astray, remember, they went astray. They were always going astray, meaning they were leaving His commands. If we will stay faithful to His commands, then we will be able to enter into His rest. But first and foremost, we have to believe. But see, our belief is what's going to cause us to keep His commands. We can't leave out the belief. We will never enter into His rest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For we who have believed enter that rest. May our belief put a desire in us to return unto His ways, to fully embrace His ways, to learn of His ways, to learn of the fullness and riches that exist within His word and within His feast. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.